Good, good. I tell you, we wanted to share with you a couple of things that are, one of them I know is in the bulletin that you have for the service today, and it is Teen Challenge Banquet. It's this coming Friday evening, and there's dinner there, and there's tickets that you purchase in order to go. And today, Boyd Wood would normally be doing that, but Boyd's having a rough day today, not feeling very well. But you pray for him, remember him. And so see Kim, his daughter. You know Kim, and she will help you that way. Also, we had and were notified over the weekend that this past week, just a few days ago, Gordon Jones, the husband of our beautiful lady that we have here with us today, Carol Shine Jones. I wanted to get that all in, but pray for her. That tomorrow there will be visitation right over here with Turatine, Jackson, and Morrow. And they're right there on 75, just a little north of where we are right now. And that's where they'll do visitation at 1 and service at 2. And I have the privilege, and I consider it a privilege, very much so, to hold that funeral service. And I will be speaking there, and we're going to have some music as well. And Mike Rich is going to play for us, and we're going to get a time when we really, folks, let's understand this. When we see one pass, I'm going to tell you how I feel about every one of them that are Christians. And guess what happened with me and Gordon? I went there and I sing. Marcia's got me over there singing, and then with the couple of nursing homes, and then guess what? She got me speaking there 5 to 7 minutes, you know, at times over there. And I love both of them. Love to do that. So for me, death is nothing but a celebration. Understand this. Because, hey, here you got me going now. What you need to understand is that when you die, listen to me closely, the resurrection that Jesus gave us is the same thing that will happen to you. And when you breathe that last breath, you're going to be in a spiritual body. We're in human bodies right now, but I want to tell you, you're going to be in a spiritual body right then and there. And you will see yourself. How do you know that, Mike? It's simple. I had a lady that was the pianist for my dad's quartet when I grew up. She started attending my church in Tennessee, because I had a church in Hickson, Tennessee, just north of Chattanooga. She said, I want to tell you a story, Mike. It's like this. I have a bad heart. And I went code blue in the hospital room one evening. And she said, as soon as I lost that last breath for that moment, you know where I found myself? At the top of the ceiling, looking down at me. How would you look down at me? But she did. And I began to look at what they were doing to me. Why, the doctor, you know, he would come running in there, and he looks at the nurse, and the nurse, he tells the nurse, you go down 3 doors, there's another guy that's going to have to help me. And so she starts going out towards the door, and guess what? The keys fall on the floor. Now, folks, I don't know if you can believe this and believe the detail of it, but I certainly do. I know this lady. knew her for years, ate a lot of watermelon at her house. And that nurse picked up those keys, goes running in there, comes back. She said, well, then the doctor just starts greasing up the paddles because they're going to have to me. And the next thing I know, I'm seeing a big, bright, warm light that I'm moving directly to. And I was saying the whole time, boy, this is the best place I've ever been in. I feel the warmth. I feel the peace. I don't want to go back. Let me tell you, you won't want to. No, you won't. Because the place that all of us are heading as believers, you need to know one other thing. You need to know this real simply. You will see, you will hear, you will speak, you will have all your senses in a spiritual body up there with Him. You can count on it. Because there's witnesses. We got it. It can start with a 4-year-old boy that I know that daddy was a pastor in Nebraska. I can tell you about that too. Because he saw it all. He told it all when he got back. I'll throw one more and then we'll get into this. See, this 4-year-old told his parents when he got back because he had been in surgery with an appendix that had exploded. And he was just about gone. But they were able to revive him. But when he came back, he said, Daddy, I was in heaven. Really? His dad turns white as a sheet. Now, I don't know why a pastor would do that, but he did. And his son says, oh, yeah, I talked to Grandpa and Grandma. Wait a minute. I have never talked to you about your grandfather. And he hadn't. His dad hadn't. I said, oh, yeah. And Papa told me that you always call him Papa. Then he got even whiter than a sheet. You see? And he told me all about going fishing, y'all going fishing together. Now I'm here to tell you folks, 4-year-olds don't make that kind of stuff up. You better believe what that kid is telling you is telling you. And it's true. It's exactly true. His dad was in there running for pictures, trying to find the pictures to show his 4-year-old. Well, where? But he brings one. It's two older people. You're going to love the next thing I have to say. Older people. And, oh, no, Dad, that's not Papa. Really? He says, yeah. He goes in, his dad gets back, crumbles, works through another piece, pictures all over the place, and he pulls one up. It's a young man with his young wife. He said, that's him. His dad said, but he was so young. He said, Dad, get wise with this. Only young people go to heaven. Everyone he saw there, young. Young. Whew. You want some more? Real quick. His wife miscarried. And she's talking to the 4-year-old, and he comes back and says, Mom, I met my sister. Sister, your sister was down with somebody else while you were on the table. What do you mean you met your sister in heaven? I met my sister in heaven.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I went over there, and she grabbed me, and she hugged me, and she talked to me, and she wouldn't let me go. That was a stillborn baby that was talking to this four-year-old. And was taller than he was because she was born in heaven when he was much younger. She was there. Now, you don't think God takes care of people? You don't think he takes care of children? You better understand he does. And you're looking at a guy right now that was number 5 on a family. And my birth mother says, I can't handle 5. Wasn't married. Had a rough time in her life. A lot of children. But not a lot of husbands, if you get my drift. And it was me, number 5. And when I saw that, I said, you know, Lord, I don't know that I'd be walking around here if I was born in 1974. So you're seeing one of the biggest pro-life people you will ever see in your life. But I got news for you. I'd have been there if I'd been aborted. But I can tell you, God takes care of children. Okay. I want to share with you in Mark, I won't be long. Marcia's got me doing 5 to 7 minutes. It won't be long. In the 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus is going to the temple. And he's been to the temple, and as he was leaving it, his disciples, of course, with him, and they're looking at what is there. And they're saying, oh, these are wonderful, beautiful buildings. You know what Jesus' reply is in verse 2? Let me read it for you. Do you see all these great buildings? No one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Now, that's not encouraging news, is it? They're looking around all these places in Jerusalem and they're seeing these big buildings and everything. Jesus says, hey, be better take a long look because it's not going to last. You know what happened in AD 70? Anybody know? I can tell you. The Romans got tired of putting up with the Jews in Jerusalem. So they came in and there was a group of people that were insurrectionists that was trying to get the Romans out. Well, they said, you're not going to get us out. We're going to show you what happened. They destroyed Jerusalem at that time. Took down buildings, killed people, men, women, children. It didn't matter to the Romans. And so Jesus knew what was coming. And guess what else he says? Because they move up on the Mount of Olives. You ought to see that place. It's unique. I've had the fortunate opportunity to do so. Rita and I did. And Peter, James, John, and Andrew look at him and say, well, why don't you tell us when these things are going to happen and what will be the sign that they're about to be fulfilled? Well, what he was talking to them about is not only what would happen in Jerusalem in AD 70, but what would happen going forward. And these are the things he said about going forward with them and what was going to take place next. Watch out that no one deceives you. In other words, folks, you better pay attention to what's happening now. Because that wasn't going to be the end of things for Jesus. And as a result, he says, I'm going to tell you. Destruction's going to come, but it's not going to finish there. It's going to continue. And when he's up there, he gives them the answer about three things they really need to do in this passage that we're looking at. And it's real simple. First, number one is you pay attention. You understand what you see happening. A friend of mine asked me the other day, well, it's a few weeks ago. I was there at his home, and he looked at me and he said, Mike, is there any understanding of mid-trib? That Jesus is going to come during mid-trib? When we have to face a lot of bad things? I looked at him and said, I can't tell you. I can't tell you where we're when he's coming. I don't know. You don't know. But I tell you one thing. If you watch something, you will see what he's saying right here taking place. And you know he's coming. Because you see, what you hear here is what prepares the way for you when he does arrive. Then you should not be surprised at all when you see what happens. Why? Because Jesus said, I want to tell you that Christians are going to be attacked. Many's going to come in my name claiming I'm he. He'll deceive a lot of people, and even today, a lot of people in a lot of churches are being deceived, because what do you see happening in some of those churches? Do you want me to tell you? We're ordaining people today. Homosexuals, lesbians, transgenders. And I hate to say this, but when I left the military in 2017, you know what I was hearing when I was about to leave as a chaplain? Oh, God help me on this one. Telling me that I need to say to them, oh, you're all right, you know, and we want you to come, and we don't care, you know, if you've got problems like that. Will help you. And you must say to them, chaplains included, that we know that they love Jesus and they're going to heaven too. Well, you want to believe that? You go right ahead. I don't. But that's what I heard, that I was going to have to be, and that's the way I was going to handle people at times. Even when they came to me. Now, let me tell you something before you understand this. I will do everything I can. I pull people aside when they were in the finance department, and I'd pray with them, lesbians. I'd pray with homosexuals that I knew were homosexuals. You know why? They need Jesus. But I told them as well, you need to change your life. You need to do that. Because Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, it's pretty simple. These kind of people will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He makes it very plain. Romans, first chapter. Now, if you want to go back to the Old Testament, we can do that in Genesis. We can do a lot of it, you see, to understand it. And I assure you that what he's saying here will happen. You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to local councils. You'll be flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings and witness to them. And then, the most important thing is the gospel is going to have to be preached to all the nations. First one, understand, pay attention. When you see things happen, and look what's happening to the churches, look in those directions and see, you'll be able to see Jesus is on his way. because there is so much hatred right now, and it is forming against Christians. True Christians are catching it. And I'm going to tell you, whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at that time, for it is not you that's going to be speaking, it is the Holy Spirit. That is what you have. And that is what you must do and say. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you and lead you and guide you, because He is coming. But there will be a price if we're still here. I want to see the rapture come. I want to be out of here when a lot of this stuff takes place. But I'm here to tell you, I can't tell you when that will be. But I can tell you, I don't like what I see happening right now in America. I tell you, I have to take a bottle of Tums and set them over there before I ever turn on the news, because I know I'm going to be sick in my stomach by the time I see it. And you need to understand, too, that what's going on right now, it's not just because some people want, you know, things to be different. It's because there's a real hatred abounding. So, first thing, pay attention. Let me tell you what happened not too many years ago. British pastors preaching on the streets. They call him homophobic. And they put him in jail. He finally got out a little way. You say that's Britain. Folks, this is happening in all the world. And then a guy in Canada, right outside of Calgary, is a pastor. Huge church. He speaks. Pray. They come and get him. Put him in jail. Because of him being preaching too many hate passages. You know, we got people that believe that the Bible has some hate verses. No, they just tell the truth. Scripture tells the truth. And as a result, the Canadian pastor's arrested. And when he gets back to his church one day to go to church, you know what's happened? 10 foot of fencing all the way around his church, locked up. For he was told, you will not be going back into your church. And he got his group of parishioners, his church members, and he looked at them and said, that's what they think. Because I and you are still going to worship. And we're still going to preach the word, and we're still going to be faithful. And that's what he's doing right now, folks. Third thing, let me show you the hatred. Guess what's happening, folks, right now? And pro-life centers. Have you heard recently about them being burned down or attempted running several of them down? I have. That's happening. Think about where you are. Second, pray each day for your nation and for this world. Because the most important people you have are people in your families. Oh, they need Jesus. Now, I'm as clear as glass, so I'm going to tell you, I got a daughter. And has been far away from Jesus. But the other day, we got a little word. Mom, Dad, me and my boyfriend, we're thinking we're going to go to church. I started crying. I'm trying to stop right now. Because I know there's a lot of people in here in the same boat I'm in. Same boat Rita's in. And we're doing everything we can, praying every day with tears that our daughter and her friend will come to know Jesus. Pray, folks, pray. There's a lot at stake. Pray for your friends who are not Christians. Pray for the strength you're going to need to have to stand firm, because one of the things that Jesus said right back here that we're looking at was this. Listen, all men will hate you. And really, men, don't get too puffed up. You need to understand, all people here will hate you because of me, says Jesus. But those he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, I'm here to tell you, those people in those churches doing what they're doing, they're not going to make it. I really believe they won't make it. You're going to have to stand firm in your faith and what the Scriptures give us in order to make it and survive, because you, Jesus says, you will stand firm and you will be saved. Saved from what other people are destined to, because they do not have a relationship with Jesus or our Heavenly Father. And you don't want to be in that place. You can find out a lot about that place when you read the story of the rich man in that place we call hell. You don't want that place. Do everything you can to pray for strength, that you stay where you are, stay firm. I want to tell you a story of a young soldier real quick. He's taken captive by the Arabs. One of them comes to him one night and puts his gun right there in the forehead and says, "I'm going to kill you tonight." Young soldier looks up and says, "Well, I tell you this, I'm ready to meet my maker. Are you?" God has a way of being there. And this Arab didn't know what to even think or do. He just turned around and walked off. That young soldier is still alive today. Know him pretty well. Third thing, we must proclaim Jesus to all the people we have the opportunity to do. You see, we have a responsibility, and we have the opportunity to really touch the lives of people. Do it. Do it. Young lady, I know. She told me one day, she said, "You know, I never understood what God wanted me to do. I think I do now." I said, "Yeah, I think you probably do." She said, "Now I can come and play the piano. I can play it at the nursing homes, and that gives me an opportunity to reach out and help them." And you know who led her that way? A Marie Risley. Marie knew what to do. The other lady knows what to do. She does it. Every week. One over at one nursing home. Next week, another nursing home. I'm telling you, the two people that I'm talking about are both sitting in this auditorium right now. Right now. Proclaim Jesus. Seek as many people as you can. Help them. Because Jesus talks about them. And what he says, he wants to see them so that they're saved from their sins. They become then a member of the kingdom of God and a child in the family of God. Let me tell you, Christians, reach out to those people, those neighbors. Reach out to those people who are co-workers if you're still working. Reach out to those family members. Why? Win them to Jesus. Here's why. Verse 19 in what we're reading. In these days will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now. Never to be equaled again. What you better understand is what's coming. And I pray to God we won't be in it. But I don't know. I know this. I'm going to be steadfast and firm. I know this. I'm going to pray. I know this. I'm going to reach out to everybody I can. Because Christians are disciples. You are a disciple. Do you realize that? You're not just a Christian, you are a disciple. Jesus teaches you through this book right here. And when he teaches you, you must follow what he teaches. You read and study what he's wanting you to do because you have an assignment and a mission to do. Wasn't Jesus who said, go make disciples, but disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's not just those 12 guys, ladies. It's everybody. Everybody. Well, I'm going to show you something. And I've got some people to help me out, I think, on this. And here it is. This little card you see laying on that table, it's called the happy face. Now, happy face, huh? You know, when I go into a restaurant and I'm given a good meal, that waitress comes over, that waiter comes over, and I say, hey, you know, you seem to have a big smile on your face. I want to ask you, are you a Christian? Whoa. Little teenage girls just getting out of high school or trying to make money to get through college. And I hand them this and talk to them. You know why I hand it to them? Because on the back of it, it says something to this effect. God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Number one. Number two, Jesus died for you. Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but quickened by the Spirit. Now they're going around to you saying, do you want any of these? I would be passing them out if I were you. Whenever I ate at a restaurant, give this as your witness. Let them know who you are. The last one says, you can have eternal life. He that hears my word and believes on me that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Let me tell you something as I'm going to close right here. You need to understand that everybody who does not have a relationship with Jesus, who is not a Christian, will not have life. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They have no life. Talk to enough of them and you will see, and you will hear, and you will know their life is crummy. They don't even like getting up in the morning. Now, wait a minute. Some of you guys get a little lazy on me. You probably do that, but don't mean to, you know. And you just need to understand that the best thing in the world is to be a Christian. Because you're going to be full of joy when that other person next to you is not. You will overcome things that you never thought you could overcome them. Because you've got a friend. And that friend will be right there with you. Today, I want to say to you, get up every morning. Pray every day. Do your best to reach out and touch the lives of people around you. Because you will have the best days you've ever had doing that, because you're doing the mission, aren't we, Colonel? Aren't we, Chaplain? We're doing a mission. That's our mission. Stand with me. Today, Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity you give us each and every day. Those people that we see, those children that we have, those people that live next door, or the places we might be working with. Oh, what an opportunity you give us. And oh, what joy and peace you have. The last time I got to walk in, Lord, to this man named Gordon, that he left us earlier in the week, I said, Gordon, how's it going? Are you walking with the Lord still? Because I had asked him previously. He said, oh, yes. And I knew, Lord, that was one that's going to be joining you. Lord, today, would you bless these people? May they sense your presence today and every day. May they accept that mission they have received and make impacts on all those around them so that they might come to know Jesus, that they might know that when their days are over and that appointment that we all have, we will be ready for it because we will rejoice in it, knowing that we're going to be there with other people we know there. Blessed people that impacted our lives as well. So, Lord, today, we thank you and praise you and love you. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.